Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
We have a very, very, very busy Tuesday here in New York City. Evan and Tiki, a lot to get to. The New York Rangers have won the President's Trophy. Congratulations to them. The New York Islanders are going back to the postseason. Congratulations to them. We will unveil four more in the New York top 20 of the greatest draft picks in New York sports history, numbers 16 through 13. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. Our buddy CP the Franchise will stop by as we preview the New York Knicks in the postseason. But I am in a very, very giddy mood today, and I normally don't do this on April 16th, but you Met fans out there, you rubbed me the wrong way before this season started. You rubbed me the wrong way 5 days into the season. Sean Morash, not Met fan, rubbed me the wrong way 5 days into the season. Even Tiki Barber rubbed me the wrong way 5 days into this season. Just about every single person on this radio station rubbed me the wrong way 5 days into this baseball season because it was declared. It was firm. It was over. The Mets suck, right? They're dead. Trade everybody. Pete Alonso's gone. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. The Mets are dead. Well, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon on April 16th, let it be made crystal clear to you Met fans out there who didn't believe, to Tiki Barber, who's been sort of up and down on this Met team, to Sean Morash, who said they'd never see 500 again, and to basically 99.8% of his staff, you're going to be wrong, and you're wrong right now. Because it's not just that the Mets have won 8 out of 11. No, no, no. It's not just that the Mets won a great game last night against the Pirates. It's the way they're doing it. It's the fact that they fight back. They're down 3-0 last night. Normally you think, oh, here we go, and they fight back. They did that against Atlanta. They did that against Kansas City, even in the game they lost. This Met team is fighting. This Met team is good. And I, as a Met fan, want to just tell you, I told you so. We have a baseball season. How you doing, Tiki?
I'm good, man. I was never down on this Met team. I was just very concerned about this Met team because, let's face it, they are exactly, at least I think, they are exactly what their current record says that they are. They're 500. They're still an evaluating team. But you don't know what's guaranteed going forward. It's not like, you know, Francisco Lindor is all of a sudden the Francisco Lindor that we've seen each of the last couple of years in totality. Even though as a righty, it's baffling. And because listening to the game last night, they were talking about his swing and how much more level it is from the right side. And he's always, you know, high fly balls to left field as a left-handed batter. But I look at some of these pieces and I say, man, they should be good, but they're not there yet. And it's surprising because I expected Francisco Lindor to be really good. I know Pete Alonso is going to be really good. I hope that Jeff McNeil finds it back again, right? But at the same time, the record is exactly what I think they are, 500. So it's not good. It's not bad. It's just kind of what the record says they are.
I kindly disagree with you. They got off to an abysmal start. And while I can't delete the first five games of the season, I think what we've seen over the last 11 games is more likely what they are. So I don't look at them as a 500 team. Now, it is very, very early in the season. I understand that. And that was one of the calming things I said to you and other Met fans when they got off to the 0-5 start, that it's a very, very small sample size. But over the first few weeks of the season, you get to know a baseball team. And I think Yankee fans are getting to know their team. I'm getting to know my team. And one of the early indications I have about this team is, A, I think they've got an electric bullpen. Let's start there. Yeah. A part of why I thought this Met team would be better than most other people was because I thought they had a real strength at the end of games. Not just Edwin Diaz, but certainly having Edwin Diaz is a big help. Their bullpen has been awesome this year. Their starting pitching has been average. Mm-hmm. They have an offense that has a chance to be dynamic. Why? Their best hitter hasn't done anything yet. You mentioned Francisco Lindor and his struggles, and he showed you a little bit of a pulse last night batting from the right side. But for the most part, Lindor's done nothing.
Yep.
But you've seen Brett Beatty produce. You even saw a big hit from DJ Stewart the other night. I think this offense has a chance to be really good. This bullpen already looks really good. And what this team has shown, and that's why, like, I was sort of embarrassed last week. I admit it. I was embarrassed to turn on a microphone, whether it was on the Rico or with you, and say, hey, the Mets had a moral victory. Because I hate that. I don't normally believe in moral victories.
It doesn't mean anything.
What does that actually mean?
Right.
But that game against Atlanta, where they fought back, I look back on it a week later, and I feel even better calling that a moral victory. Because that comeback showed you what this team is. That they are a team that is never going to give up. That when they're down 6-0, the game isn't over. And over the last year and a half, that's not how we have felt as Met fans. And I can tell the Met fans starting to believe differently in this team. Now, how can I tell? I'm not judging it based on social media. I'm not even judging it based on phone calls. And we'd love to hear from you, 877-337-6666. I'm going to tell you about something really small that I've learned about for the last 30 years. Close your eyes when you're at a Met game. It's not about the amount of people that are there. Mm-hmm. It's how it sounds. I've been in Shea Stadium. I've been in Citi Field. And you can close your eyes and you can hear the depression. You can hear the lack of faith. You can hear the way Met fans feel about their baseball team. I've had many a seasons in which I've been able to do that. And then there are other seasons in which Bob Murphy used to say it. Close your eyes, 12,000 people sound like 40,000 people. That's when you know the fan base believes. When even though there's a small amount of people gathered, it sounds large. For the first time this season, last night at Citi Field, it was only 18,000 people. I acknowledge it was a small crowd. But if you closed your eyes, whether it was watching on SNY or you were in that building, if you closed your eyes, you heard energy and passion and you heard a fan base very slowly. It takes time, people. Very slowly. But you heard a fan base that believes. And for the first time this season, small sample size, for the first time in a long time, because I didn't hear it last year either, when you closed your eyes, you could hear a fan base coming back from the dead.
Let's go mad.
That's what I heard last night.
Well, hopefully they start going. Hopefully they start attending.
Look, that's now, a different issue, right, Tiki.
And we'll get to it. But last night was the perfect night for Met fans to say, you know what, screw it, let's go. Because it was perfect yesterday. It was 68 degrees, 67 degrees. It felt delicious outside.
Delicious.
It did. It was. It was one of those days. I had a t-shirt on for the first time in, I think, 2 months. But it was amazing to be outside. And yet, still, it was only 18,000. But I think this all goes back to the preseason expectation for this team. And let's be real. Nobody knew. Nobody knew what to expect from this Mets team. We didn't know what the bullpen would look like with Edwin Diaz coming back. Obviously, you expect him to be Edwin Diaz. And it took him, I mean, how many save opportunities has he had? Four? Three? Four? Something like that. But it feels like Edwin Diaz is Edwin Diaz. And Ottaviano, even though he gives up a bomb here or there, he's the same.
Brooks Raley, how good has he looked?
Has been very good as well.
Reed Garrett, all of a sudden, you need guys to come out of nowhere. Reed Garrett's come out of nowhere.
You're right. Lopez has been good as well. So all these guys are doing exactly what they need to do when the starting pitching either falters or hits their limit.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But the challenge for the Mets, and I know you've talked about fighting back, but the reason the bullpen can be great is if they score runs. And they still haven't figured out how to consistently jump on teams early. Now, if they start doing that, that's when you say, wow, this Mets team might be something this year. They're not doing that yet. And it's because the guys, the McNeils, the Lindors, those guys aren't quite on all cylinders yet. Is it going to happen? I think so.
By the way, you just hit on something that excites me. When your better players aren't even performing to the level that you know they will, and you're finding ways to win.
Yeah.
And that's an example of that. Look, Lindor had a better day yesterday. Jeff McNeil's most important contribution yesterday was striking out and then running his ass off to first base. And you can all laugh about it, but that was the biggest moment of the game because there's about to be two outs and nobody on against Aroldis Chapman. And instead, Jeff McNeil knew what the hell was going on. So when he strikes out, he runs to first base and he reaches. And it started this huge inning. But when Harrison Bader ripped that RBI double, close your eyes because I did it. I felt a fan base believing in this team. And that takes a while because I get what you're saying. This was not an offseason that was awe-inspiring. I acknowledge that. There's a reason why a lot of Met fans went into this season very skeptical, and maybe some of you remain very skeptical, sample size of 16 games. But what they are starting to show you is that maybe they're better than you think. Maybe this baseball team is a lot better than you think. And I think what I am sensing from my fellow Met fans and even the haters out there, the losers and the haters like Sean Morash, who guaranteed on the radio they would never see 500 again. What's the Mets record right now, Sean?
500. I was wrong. Sorry, Met fans.
You were wrong. On April 15th, you were wrong. Didn't take until June. It took until April 15th. You were wrong.
By the way, when do you apologize to Met fans?
For what?
For having season's dead eyes.
No.
When does that happen?
No.
Wait till 2:40 for that?
First of all, here's what happened. When the Mets lost the first game of the doubleheader to drop to 0-5, yes, Sean accused me, and I think you joined in, in accusing my eyes of saying there was a death of a season in my eyes.
That was bad. That was 0-5.
I was upset, but that's not me declaring the season over. That's you guys implying that the look on my face.
You looked shell-shocked.
I was. They were 0-5.
I know it.
It was a terrible, terrible start, and that's why these little moments that maybe at the time you don't realize, they turn out to be really big. Pete Alonso hitting that game-tying home run in the second game of the doubleheader was as important a hit. I know it's crazy to think because it was still technically March or the first week of April. How big of a hit does that look like it was now?
April 4th, yeah.
They were about to go 0-6. And even the comment about a moral victory against Atlanta, all of a sudden that looks big. And think back to that loss against Cincinnati. They lose a brutal game on a Saturday afternoon, the night of WrestleMania Night 1. They've got no bullpen available. That was a brutal, brutal, brutal loss. And the Mets responded. They responded by winning the series. They responded by beating Atlanta, a game they came back in. It's not just 8-8. Because, look, it's easy to pin 8-8 and say, come on, it's 500. What the hell are you celebrating? It's the idea and the look of this team that it's different. And, by the way, it's okay to be wrong. Like, I have some anger, I admit, towards some of my fellow Met fans because I thought the negativity coming into this season was at an all-time high. And even though you were upset and you were down and you were upset about the offseason, that shouldn't cloud you from what the team actually is. And so it kind of bothered me just how over-the-top negative some Met fans were. True. Like, this was going to be the worst team in baseball.
But it's easy to say what this team is, but don't you have to see them do it? Don't they have to prove?
I'm already starting to see it.
I know, but when you're talking at Met fans who were despondent or down on this team because of a lack of an interesting offseason, let's just put it softly, right? You didn't know what this team was going to be. Like, so the only way to have faith in this team is to see it, right? And so they're waiting to see it, right? That's kind of my approach is when I look at the Mets. I'm not a Met fan like some of these callers that are going to call us, but as I look at the team, it needed to be proven to me, right? It needed to be shown to me on a consistent basis, and it is being shown to me on a consistent basis, at least as of the last 8 games or so. But to start the season, God, it was easy to just say, all right, it was just exactly what we expected, nothing. And every single, you know, comment in the Met chat, every comment on social media, it was all the same. Same old Mets. I mean, how many times a year? Same old Mets. Mm-hmm. So it takes some extra oomph to get away from that. And luckily they've started to do it. But it's by no means is the story of the season. We have no idea what the story of the season is going
to
be yet.
We have a long way to go, but when you are 16 games into a season, you only have 16 games to view.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, over the last 11 games that they've played, I see something very different about this team. Something that makes me believe in this team. Something that I think will eventually make Met fans believe in this team. Look, they've got to finish the job now. I think it's very important. I said this off-air to Tiki. I don't think I said it on air. I said, I got to get to L.A. at 500 because the Mets are about to go to Los Angeles. We know how dangerous of a team the Dodgers are. Can you get to L.A. at 500? They are a split away over the next 2 days from accomplishing that small little goal. It's a tiny goal. It's not a huge goal. But what it would mean is winning 4 consecutive series, which is what the Mets are doing. They haven't won 9 in a row, but they're going out, and they're winning 2 out of 3. And they're doing it with a formula that I think they're going to have to continue to use. A top-notch back into the bullpen, a decent rotation. Adrian Houser yesterday was decent. He walked 5 guys, but he pitched into the 6th inning. An offense that's opportunistic. An offense that comes up in the big moment, like we saw yesterday from DJ Stewart. Like we saw yesterday from Harrison Bader. And continue to do it. And continue to slowly change the minds of the majority. Because the Met fan majority didn't believe. And what I ask you today, only 16 games in, because I heard it last night at Citi Field. I heard it with my ears. I heard a fan base starting to believe. Does the Met fan believe? Or do you think this is all just a giant waste of time and they're going to lose 90 games?
I don't think it's a waste of time. The team has too many good players on it. And especially if Brett Beatty stays the way that he is playing, and Francisco Alvarez plays like he did for most of last season and the beginning of this season, they'll be fine, right? The question is it just fine, or is there an elevation from fine? Because right now, and I'll say it again, they are exactly what their record is. They had a horrendous start. They've been great over 8 of their last 11. But that's exactly where they are.
So
8-8 right now.
8-8 now.
And here's the challenge, though. And Sean brought this up, and this is why he was so down on the team at the beginning.
Because he's a hater.
He's not a hater. I think he was being realistic. You start the season 0-5. I mean, the Detroit Tigers, you lose the first two in horrendous fashion. Now, you find a way to win the second one, or the third game, I should say. But then you're on the road against Cincinnati and Atlanta. And then you have Pittsburgh coming. Who was it? Cincinnati, Atlanta, Kansas City. And then you have Pittsburgh. And then you go on the road again.
Not easy.
Right? Against the Dodgers and the Giants. Like, when you look at that first 2 months or month and a half of the season, if you didn't get off to a fast start, it was going to be daunting.
Well, they didn't get off to a fast start.
I know.
They recovered from it.
They did recover, but they're exactly where I think a lot of people thought they would be. Kind of 500. Nobody thought they were going to go 0-5 to start the season.
No, I agree. It's funny.
It was going to be splits. Splits here, splits here. Maybe you steal some in Atlanta, right? Maybe you do well against Cincinnati. Right? It was just going to be splits. And then let's see what happens when you get to that first real road trip, when you go across the country to Los Angeles and San Francisco and play against the big boys, at least the perceived big boys in the National League. That's the first real test. They've weathered it.
Yeah.
But again, they're right where their record says they are. They're 500.
They have not had a winning streak yet. Think about it. They overcame the 0-5 start by just going out and winning series. But when they got off to the 0-5 start, and this is what led to Sean taking a lot of heat last night, as he should, and a little bit of heat today. I asked a question right here on this radio station, on this show. I said, okay, the Mets are 0-5. Maybe they were 1-5 after they got the win. Will they ever see 500 again? Three of us had faith. Three of us said, yeah, I think they will. Tommy Lugauer had faith. By the way, Tommy, all the Met fans I'm mad at, you're not one of them. I think you have been rather, you know, sort of on my side, if you will.
Measured? No, absolutely. I said they would be 500 by this week. I had the faith of the world. And they don't even have JD or Senga back yet. I'm all good. I think they're a playoff team.
Is JD coming back?
Well, yes. We'll see. I don't even
see? I mean, I would hope so.
I don't even want to think about it until he's back. So Lugie was right. I asked myself the question. I said, yeah, they'll get back to 500. I was right. Tiki said, yeah, I think they'll get back. He wasn't as sure about it, but they did. Sean said, no, he takes it out. I appreciate that you're owning the loss.
I am owning it. However, if we get that rain out in Atlanta, maybe I'm still not taking an L, but you know, an L's an L.
Oh, stop. Don't bring up rain out.
An L's an L. Now what, though, Ev?
Oh, here's the now what. I'm glad you asked. So here's my follow-up question, since that kind of prediction game has been settled. Will the Mets see under 500 again? Will the Mets...
Tonight.
Well, I mean, that could happen tonight.
It could happen, or it may not. Or they win the next two and they never see it again. So, Tiki Barber, will the Mets see under 500 ever again?
Of course they will.
Of course they will?
Yes. They're going to go on a three-game losing streak at some point. They're going to dip below 500, and then they'll be back above. Like, this team... You're not listening to what I'm saying.
I'm listening. I just don't agree with you.
My interpretation is that this team is gonna yo-yo. They're going to yo-yo you. They're going to ride up the rolling hills if you're a marathoner. The rolling hills. Rolling hills suck because when you go downhill, you're trying to slow yourself down. You're blowing your quads up. Then you run uphill, you're blowing your hamstrings up.
Jeez.
Eventually, you just
what a description.
I'm just telling you, just wear yourself out. Like, this is what this team feels like to me. They're rolling hills. Now, maybe they get on an energy burst and they just climb one and it's awesome and they pull 10 games of 500, but I'm not seeing that.
Okay,
yet.
You know what? Let me change the question then. All right. When I first asked you about them seeing 500 again, they were five games under 500. Will the Mets see five games under 500 again, in your opinion?
I don't think so.
No. All right, Sean, will the Mets see five games under 500 again?
No.
There you go. He believes. Lugie, will the Mets see five under 500 again?
No.
Yeah, they're pitching too well.
No.
We all believe.
It's because they're pitching well.
Not sure they'll see five games over 500 again.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where that goes. It's tough to say they won't see under 500 again because all they have to do is lose tonight and I'll be in the building and I could just sense that feeling of walking out of Citi Field at 9:45 p.m. and having Lugie tweet out, Evan's a mush, they're under 500. But I feel good about where this team's at. We'll get to your calls next. Do you agree? And why can the Mets not get people to show up? On a beautiful night at Citi Field last night, they only announced 18,000 people. Why? We'll try to handle it coming up, 877-337-6666. A lot of hockey to get to as well. As we celebrate the great John Sterling, today, let's say 3 o'clock today, I will give you 5 of the great John Sterling moments that are not New York Yankees related. Because you are going to hear a lot of tributes to John as a Yankee, rightfully so, and we'll certainly get into the action as well. But John has had such a brilliant career even before he was the Yankee broadcaster. So we have collected 5 legendary John Sterling moments, and I'll just give you a couple of hints, one of which involves him having an on-air fight with a caller, an elderly woman. And another is a play-by-play call that I think is one of the great calls of all time. and it doesn't involve the Yankees. So we honor the non-Yankee portion of John's career. Obviously, plenty of time to honor the Yankee portion of his career with some of the great calls and some of the great home run calls. And we'll get to that coming up at 3 o'clock, plus another edition of Posted and Toasted at 3:30. CP, the franchise, the face of Knick fans, in my opinion, will join us later on in the show as well. The New York Mets won a game last night. It may seem simple, but you can feel the fan base believing again. You can feel the rise from the Met fan in believing in what this 2024 team can do. They're down 3-0. They come back. They win 6-3. Edwin Diaz is electric. They get a solid performance by Adrian Hauser. And they're doing this without Francisco Lindor contributing on a big level, without Jeff McNeil contributing on a big level, with Pete Alonso having a very quiet night offensively, and they win anyway. You can see it in my eyes, Tiki. I believe.
I know you do. You've always kind of believed, even though after 0-5, you...
I was. What did I do at 0-5?
You were sulking.
What was I supposed to do?
You were slumping. You were slumping. You were, like, defeated.
I was never
Your
defeated.
Your eyes were, like, I don't know, you'd taken 15 shots of tequila or something. You were, like, you couldn't even think. Like, your mind was shot. I'm serious.
But that doesn't mean I gave up. It doesn't mean I didn't believe.
I'm not saying you gave up.
It just meant I was upset.
I'm saying you looked defeated, and I'm glad you were resurrected now.
I'm sure after your 12th fumble, you looked defeated, too. It didn't mean you gave up. You still put together a pretty damn good career.
I had 12 in a year, in a season.
Oh, sorry about that.
A lot.
I may have exaggerated.
Maybe like 8.
Let's kick it off with Billy. He's calling from Manorville. How are you, Billy?
Good. How are you guys? Thank you for taking my call. I'm a big fan of both of you and my first time calling in.
Awesome. Appreciate you, Billy.
Appreciate that. What's up?
So, speaking of the Mets, you know, I think it's important to mention, you know, I wasn't as high or as low as a lot of people. I was kind of middle of the road, and I couldn't be happier right now. You know, you look at the pitching staff, they've been very good overall. The bullpen's been great. The starters have been good. You know, you wish that you could get some extra innings, but they're keeping them in games. And all this without Senga. And then you look at their lineup, who's been scrappy lately, fighting, putting up runs when they need it, and all that without J.D. Martinez. You know, how many teams outside of the Dodgers, Braves, and Yankees wouldn't end up for being 500 without their ace and a big bat in the middle of the order?
That is a good way to look at it. The Mets have reinforcements coming. Now, I'm not as confident in Kodai Senga, and it has nothing to do with him. I think it's just in general, when a pitcher is down,
yeah,
it's tough to just imagine they're going to walk through that door and contribute. I hope he does. Same thing with Yankee fans with Gerrit Cole. But for now, I can't even think about Kodai Senga. But you can think about J.D. Martinez because we're one positive report away from him being in the lineup in 5 days.
Until we get it. I mean, this was a couple of weeks to ramp up to, now he's got some back pain. And now he's got, like, who knows what the heck is going on with J.D. Martinez. But when he comes up, hopefully, he's going to be amazing. He'll be the extra bat that you need. But I'm telling you, man, you guys signed damaged goods. I said it jokingly when I first heard the delay. I think it's real. I think there's something wrong, and they're just not telling us.
Can I tell you the worst part of my weekend?
What's that?
My worst part of my weekend was Sunday. I was at Citi Field, and my dad looks at me and says, you know, the more Tiki says it, I think he's right about J.D. Martinez. I don't know why that annoyed me.
Well, I mean, why else is he not here?
Because it wasn't even my dad saying it. It was like confirming,
you don't want me to be right. I hope I'm wrong, but gee, I mean, what the heck?
I get you.
What the hell was he doing this offseason?
No, it's frustrating, but you know what's great? It's very similar to what I said about when Lindor struggles. When the team wins, it just matters less.
Of course.
Because that phone
100%.
Call kind of feels good for us as Met fans. Like, hey, they're winning despite this, this, and this. And right now, the Mets are winning despite the fact that the designated hitter they signed, penciled in to be their cleanup hitter, hasn't even played yet.
Right. If they were the other way around, if it was 3-8 over the last 11 as opposed to the other way around, we'd be saying, God, we desperately need J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, we'd be cursing him out.
At 100%.
And meanwhile, on the other side, Jose Buto, and I love Big Buto, I cannot lie, has made two starts, essentially filling in for Kodai Senga or Tyler McGill, your pick.
Yeah, take your time, Kodai.
And he's been brilliant to where you're starting to think, let me see more from Mr. Buto.
Right.
I love Big Buto, and I cannot lie. I can't get that out of my head. And that's from the Mets. The Mets put that on their TV screen.
All you other Met fans cannot deny.
Hmm. There you go. Look, you added to it. You want to re-record the song like Al Duke style or something or not?
No, I'm not doing hack gimmicks.
I'm not taking kindly to that.
Cinco de Fivo coming up at 5.
So
Seriously. That was not a hack gimmick. If Al still had any motivation, I'd ask him to re-record himself. I'm kidding. I love Al. Let's go to John in Old Bridge. What's up, John?
How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. What's up?
So my biggest concern with the Mets right now is the overall consistency throughout the entire season. My biggest fear is that they're going to lose another 5 in a row, and then they'll win 6 in a row, and then they'll lose 7 in a row. I don't know how this lineup is going to be the entire season. Guys like DJ Stewart, Starling Marte, Harrison Bader, who are hitting right now, I don't know how they're going to be hitting in the dog days of July and August, and the same thing with the starting staff. I don't know how long we could trust Sean Manaea, Quintana. The bullpen is the strongest part of the team. That's the last concern.
Yeah.
But at the deadline, if they're near 500, they're going to have to add another bat and another starter.
I mean, they got a bat coming in JD, hopefully.
Yeah, but
even with Martinez and with Kodai.
I'll tell you what, and it's so difficult to project into July, into A, where the team is and what they would need. But here's why my knee-jerk reaction isn't trade for this guy, trade for that guy. Because the Mets have kids in their system who very well could be very ready come the middle of July. Christian Scott is not ready yet. He's only made a couple of starts at AAA, and it's been damn impressive. But there may come a moment, the middle of June, the middle of July, where Christian Scott gets that call. There may come a day in the middle of June or July, once Drew Gilbert is healthy, where Drew Gilbert gets that call. You talked about the outfield. You talked about Starling Marte, maybe Harrison Bader, who truly is a fourth outfielder. So a part of why I had optimism about this team, there were a few reasons. I agreed the bullpen was going to be a strength. I thought this core lineup is a lot better than people realize. Let's remember what they produced like in 2022 when they were top three offense in the National League. But they've got horses on the rise. And it's tough to think about it now in the middle of April because they're not coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Jet Williams is off to a cold start. Drew Gilbert's on the IL. We'll see about Luis Angel Acuña. He was cold. Now he's getting hot. Christian Scott's only made a handful of starts at AAA. But I think that the reinforcements may come from the youth and not by trading for guys. And I think that's part of what makes this Met team exciting.
Yeah, I'd be interested if you were just thinking about bringing in another bat. Where are you putting them? Like, who's expendable?
Well, I think Harrison Bader's, to me, he's a nice player, and he had a big hit yesterday, and he's off to a good start, so I have to couch all this. But he's not an everyday center.
I mean, he's hitting 300
now. Don't make me be a jerk. He's a local guy. I like him, but come on.
He had a swinging bunt the other day that he kind of drove in a run. You know, those type of things matter.
Long term, he's the guy you're replacing. He's off to a fine start. I'm not talking about replacing him now. I want to make that clear. Yeah. But when you ask, hey, who would be replaced by youth? Who would be replaced by a trade? And I don't think it's a trade. The answer is probably the guy who's a fourth outfielder. See, but now I sound like I'm a jerk.
Yeah,
you do. I'm ripping the guy. I'm not ripping the guy. I'm answering the question. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm just wondering who is underperforming enough that you say, we don't need you right now.
By the way, and I'm glad this guy called in. And I'm letting him jump the line because this is a great observation. And I want him to make the observation and not me. Ryan in Freehold. Ryan, say it, baby. Just say what you're going to say.
Listen, Evan, I was watching the Mets game last night.
Yes.
Harrison Bader is Jake Paul's younger brother. They are identical twins. They look exactly the same.
I know.
His blonde beard, it's him.
I agree. I think Harrison Bader and Paul are like dead ringers for each other.
Now I got to look.
Yeah, analyze it. No, I think you're right. It's a great observation, Ryan. But I like Harrison Bader. You're making me turn on Harrison Bader. He just looks like
him. Oh, wow, with the beard, you're right.
You see it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
They look alike, don't they?
They really do.
I'm so glad Ryan made that call because, like, sometimes I'm watching games or, you know, things are going on and I want to write things down that are on my mind because I may bring it up on the air. Like, the other day I brought up the fact that at Citi Field, they had the Yankee game on the TV in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, I had to write that down or else I was going to forget.
I don't see enough of Bader with his hat off. So, I know his hair is blonde-ish, but if it's that spiky Jake Paul, like, whatever, little mop on the top of his head, they're spitting images.
They look alike,
don't
they?
Their faces look alike.
Yeah.
And the beard. That's a great call.
Yeah, that's a very good call.
I never thought of that one. But now I see it. It's a great call.
The Master and Jake Paul, they look alike.
Until he gets his butt kicked by Mike Tyson.
Jeez. I don't know about that. The more I've been thinking about that
I mean, Mike is 55. 56, whatever he is.
He's old.
He's
the old point.
Right.
Like, and Logan Paul's in great shape. He's 29 years old.
Jake Paul, no, Logan.
Jake Paul. Who am I talking about?
You're talking about the...
Who's the guy we're talking about is Jake or Logan? I get them so confused.
Jake. Logan Paul, United States champion. Jake Paul fighting Mike Tyson.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize. I get them very confused.
Like Jake Paul.
What was that?
Bader looks like Jake Paul, who was fighting Mike Tyson.
That's what I'm thinking about. I get that. Even though I watch Logan Paul on TV because he is in the WWE, I screw that up all the time. Jed has to correct me. He's like, who's Jake Paul? It's Logan Paul. Whatever. Yeah, the more I think about it, I think Jake Paul's going to, I think he's going to beat him.
Really?
Yeah. I've given it thought,
destroy him.
Mike Tyson's going to beat Jake Paul?
No, Paul's going to destroy
Tyson. That's what I just said.
Are you sure?
I know. Tiki's like, am I sure? He's a guy in his mid-50s.
It doesn't matter. Mike Tyson has a cannon for a fist.
Yeah. Thunderbolt.
Jake Paul might be the most dangerous man with his arms right now. Okay, Jake Paul has never been. This is Mike Tyson's quote. Everybody has a game plan and they get hit in the jaw. When he gets hit by a Mike Tyson punch, not like an amateur. Who did he fight? Who did Jake Paul fight that it was like a powder puff fight? You remember it. I can't remember who it was, but it was just like they weren't even trying to hit
each other. Didn't he knock out Nate Robinson?
Nate or somebody else, somebody like that. It was like one of those like non-boxer fights. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Not really. Mike Tyson's a real fighter, dude. I know he was out of shape. He's back in shape. I know he's 55 years old, but he's Mike freaking Tyson.
I understand who he is. He's going to lose. That's all I'm saying. I think he's going to get his ass kicked. Anyhow, thank you for the comparison. Jake Paul, Harrison Bader, they look alike. Josh from Poughkeepsie. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Just as IBO here, obviously I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm going to watch the Mets occasionally. So I found myself thinking about this, so I wanted to ask Evan your opinion.
Go ahead.
If at the trade deadline, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before, Mets are, hover either around 500 or, six, seven games over, do you think Cohen and Stearns change course and try to go for, something here? Or they just stick with what they have, bring the young kids up still and, play the season out like that?
I think more likely than not, good or bad, the Mets are not going to do anything big at the trade deadline. And I'll explain why on the positive end of things. First of all, who is going to be out there? In this world of baseball where so many teams make the playoffs, which means so many teams are in pennant races, who's going to be out there that's going to cause us as Met fans and David Stearns to say, oh, I need him. Oh, I got to get him. Like, who is that person on what team? That's number one. Number two, if that guy does exist, are the Mets going to take top-end prospects, mm-hmm. and trade them away for a potential two-month rental? To me, the odds of that are very, very low. That's why the reinforcements, if the Mets ever get any, are going to come from youth. It's going to come from Mike Vassell, Christian Scott, Dominic Hamill, if in terms of pitching. If in terms of bats, it's going to be Luis Angel Acuna, Jet Williams, Drew Gilbert. I don't see anything big and sexy occurring for two reasons. I just don't think, A, there's going to be that many guys out there. I think we live in a different world in baseball now, where so many teams are in pennant races, and the Met plan is simple. They are building towards the future. That doesn't mean they're giving up on this season, clearly.
No.
But they aren't going to take their young prospects and deal them away. Well, we have only seen Steve Cohen's regime do it one time, and that was with Pete Crow Armstrong for Javier Baez. And I think they realize that may have been a giant F-up.
Right. You also can't forget what David Stearns' plan, what his direction is right now. Like, they're evaluating. Now, they're trying to win while they evaluate. But they're not going to ship off pieces of their roster, their budding roster, meaning they get the kids, just to evaluate somebody else who's only going to be here for a short amount of time. It doesn't make any sense,
right?
Given what they've stated the plan is for this season. I mean, they're trying to win, but they're not trying to win at all costs.
But, and think about this, and this is certainly more debatable, but this is what happened. In 2022, the Mets had a win-now team, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had the aging aces. They had DeGrom in free agent year. They brought in Max Scherzer, and they were on their way to 100-plus wins. And at the trade deadline, they decided to keep their prospects. That's what happened. That's why they ended up with Daniel Vogelback. That's why they ended up with Darren Ruff. That's why they didn't trade for Wilson Contreras. That's why they didn't trade for J.D. Martinez. There was an offer for J.D. Martinez. I think Pat Regazzo reported about that. Good job by Pat. That the Red Sox said Alex Ramirez for J.D. Martinez. And the Mets said no. Now, Alex Ramirez still isn't even in the major leagues. He's a young player. But the Mets said no. So in a year in which the Mets were legitimate championship contenders, in a win-now year, they had the approach of, you know what? we're going to keep our prospects. And you can debate that, by the way. It is fair as a Met fan to say they F that one up. It's 2022. These opportunities don't come around often. You have a chance to get J.D. Martinez, final piece of the puzzle. You got to do it. This team isn't that team, and they're probably not going to be in position to win 100 games, as high on them as I may be. So I think the Cohen regime, even with a different president, already showed you they're going to be very protective of their prospects. Now, what I'm curious about to you, Tiki, because we have discussed this on air a little bit, and that is the fact that right now, as of this moment, it is still mid-April, the Mets are not drawing anybody. Even for the dock day, they announced 32,000 people. It was not a big crowd.
It was raining, so I get it. I understand why some people might have been turned off. It was a Sunday. Like, I understand some people have other plans. It's not quite fully nice outside yet, but it was empty. I mean, you sent that picture. The upper deck was just empty.
It filled in a little bit more, but it was still a relatively small crowd. Right. Yes, as the game went on. Last night, I mean, an absolutely gorgeous night. The Mets announced 18,000 people. What is your theory for why the Mets are not drawing very well? Meanwhile, the Yankees on a Tuesday night against the Marlins announced 36,000 people, just to have perspective on this.
So I think this Met team is going to have to prove it. Forget what we're talking about from a record standpoint, of, you know, where their position. They're going to have to prove it to the fan base because the enthusiasm was just not there coming into this season. So I would guess that pre-sales and the Sunday packages or the Saturday weekend package, Saturday package, whatever packages they're selling didn't go well. They didn't sell them.
Yeah.
They didn't pre-season sell them because there was no high expectations. Like, why am I going to go watch them? I'd rather just watch them at home, and if they're good, I'll go buy it at the gate if I need to. So I think that's what it's been like. So unfortunately, this Met team is going to have to play like they did the last 11 for the next month or so before people start saying, all right, I actually want to go see that team. I want to go see Pete. I want to go see Lindor. I want to see Francisco Alvarez. I like this pitching staff. Like, they're gonna have to prove it. Like, they're gonna have to become a story for fans to start coming. Otherwise, they're just gonna sit at home and say, "All right, we'll just see. We'll just evaluate," just like David Stearns is.
Yes,
I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think that it takes a lot of time. You know, sometimes your best attendance years are the year after you have success. Mm-hmm. Like in 1997, the Yankees drew better than they drew in 1996. You know what I mean? Yeah. They won the World Series in 1996.
Well, what was it last year?
The Mets?
Yeah.
It's
to start the season. Was it really good last year to start the season?
I don't think it was ever really good, but it was certainly better than this. I mean, this is the worst start to a season attendance-wise in Citi Field history.
And when was the last time the Mets had a rotation that didn't feature a guy that people were like dying to see? Like, oh, he's pitching tonight. Let's go to the Mets.
I mean, you really have to go pre-Jacob DeGrom.
It's crazy.
You got to go back to the Jonathan Nease, Mike Pelfrey era. You're right. And this is a franchise that has always had that history of having the big time ace. So you're right, they don't have a starting pitcher that anybody wants to pay and see. Meanwhile, they did have those guys, you know, even though Verlander and Scherzer don't jump out at you. But
yeah. But I mean, but last year, because I'm looking it up now.
I'm going to tell you the crowds. I mean, it's not even close. You're gonna be amazed by it.
Yeah.
Opening day, forget opening day, it's always a sellout. Saturday game, 42,000.
Yeah.
Sunday game, 33,000. Monday night against the Padres, 30,000. Tuesday against the Padres, 30,000. Wednesday afternoon against the Padres, me and Loogie went to that game, 34,000.
And then they went on a long road trip.
They come back, and it drops a little bit. 20,000, 20,000, 20,000, 29,000, 27,000. But still, significantly better than what they're getting now.
Right.
So I think you're right that sometimes expectations lead to that. That's why I said at the top of the show, there's kind of this almost formula for when a fan base starts to believe in a team. And the first thing you can do, and I experienced it last night, is closing your eyes and listening to how it sounds. And when the Mets rallied last night, if you closed your eyes, you could hear a packed stadium.
Yeah.
You could hear the excitement of Met fans. That's step one. The fan believing based on how excited they get. Like, Harvey's Better game. Remember the Harvey's Better game? It's in my book, My Mets Bobby. You can buy it right now. That was the game where Steven Strasburg pitched, Matt Harvey outdueled him, and the crowd started chanting, Harvey's Better. You can look that up. There was no more than 30,000 people in that building that night. That was in the mid-20s. But I wrote about that game because of the crowd. That made my book because of the crowd, because of the electricity, because you could feel Met fans believing in Matt Harvey and believing in what was coming. So it starts with the loudness of the crowd. And then the second step is, people showing up. And right now, you know, you can come up with your own theories. I respect yours.
Right.
People ain't showing up.
I mean, even last year, I'm just looking. They're three games under 500 in the middle of May. The Tampa Bay Rays are in town. There's 28,000, 29,000 on Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Right.
Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Their smallest crowd last year was 20,191. Yeah. They have been under that number in almost every game they've played outside of Dock Day and opening day.
May 10th through the 14th is when you'll hit the panic button if they're not getting close to selling out.
Meaning
Braves and Phillies in a month.
From a business standpoint, you're talking about.
Right, because by then, we're going to know, hey, mid-May, are the Mets five games over? Are they back under? And those are finally, you get some sexy opponents in the building, too.
Let's go to Kevin in South Florida. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good.
All good, man. Big fan of the show. Hey, so I guess my my point or question was, so the Mets get off this horrible start. You know, you're crushing everyone for Sky is Falling. Now they're on a hot streak, and you're pumping your chest out.
That's right.
And so they're back to 500, like he said. I mean, why are you so proud of that?
Because I'm proud that you're wrong, Kevin, because you're one of those people.
I'm not wrong. I did not hate them.
Hey, buried them. You think they stink. You thought they were going to lose 90 games. I could hear it in your voice.
But your preseason expectation was low, wasn't it?
I just think you're setting yourself up for next week if they go on a losing streak. For people to come right back at you.
They could do whatever they want. I'm just saying that you guys, and maybe it wasn't you, Kevin, I'm sort of busting your balls, buried them. Like, there was a lot of burials of the New York Mets, and I thought it was foolish for two reasons. A, it's only five games. That's number one. And number two, because they're not that bad. Like, the talk around this team was, I think, clouded by an offseason that didn't live up to your expectations. That's what it came down to. And I admit, like, did I have bigger expectations for the offseason? Sure. But that didn't cloud what I looked and saw this roster and said, okay, I think they're decent.
Yeah.
I didn't think they're going to win the World Series. I think they're decent. So me pounding my chest is not that 8-8 means they're winning the World Series or they should hang a banner, but I think the negativity around this team from this fan base is higher than it's ever been. And I think there's a myriad of reasons for why that's the case. So, yeah, I'm proud as one of those rare positive Met fans. And I'm not always positive. It's not like I'm Mr. Positive. I'm positive right now in this season for this team. I'm not always positive. So, yeah, I'm happy that Met fans and some of the haters like Sean out there have to just eat a little bit of crow. That gives me joy. Makes me happy.
Gives me joy, Ev.
What makes you joy? The fact that you don't have to play the Islanders in the first round? Congratulations on that. I'm happy for it.
I would have preferred that. No, what gives me joy is being able to admit I was wrong while watching Met fans celebrate simply a 500 record. That really gives me joy.
We're not celebrating a 500 record. We're celebrating their season.
Yeah, we're 8-8.
We're celebrating our season.
Given how they started, that's an accomplishment.
I know.
Sammy's in Queens. Hey, Sammy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Listen, I'm a big baseball fan like you, Evan. Okay, I'm 61 years old. I've been around. I am tired of all these excuses for not having good crowds, especially for the Mets. There's 9 million people in the city of New York alone, and you can't get 40,000 people for Dwight Gooden Day. You know what I mean? I get you.
I think it's more, but Sammy, Connecticut. Sammy, it's not just Doc Gooden Day to me. It's the fact that, I just gave you a number, very simple. Last year, they never had a crowd announced below 20,000. And this year, they've already had like five.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more people aren't showing up. And I think there's a lot of little reasons that add up to it. And to me, the number one reason is affordability. Like, I'm going to stun you with something I'm going to say, but it's true because I'm a season ticket holder and I know I had a good year as a season ticket holder with the Brooklyn Nets this year. Now, that makes no sense. They suck. They stink. They just hired a head coach I never heard of.
But they had a sellout at the end of the season.
They sold out almost every game this year.
Wow.
Now, that you may not realize that, especially listening to this radio station, but I'm telling you.
The Nets still in the league.
They're not. They stink. But they literally almost sold out every game this year. And the answer to the why is very simple. Because it's affordable. And when you want to take your family to a basketball game, you know, you can go see the better product at Madison Square Garden. Absolutely. It's also going to cost you like five times the amount. So a lot of people, families, not even Net fans, said, hey, I want to go see a basketball game. This is affordable. Right now, in this economic climate, the New York Mets made a decision, I'm sorry, this is the reality, to raise prices off of a bad season. You can't do it. When you did it, I questioned it on the air. When the Jets did it, I questioned it on the air. If you are coming off a bad year or a disappointing season, it's bad business. and that's why you're struggling. If this was an affordable product, there'd be more people there.
Yeah.
It's not affordable.
It makes sense. I don't even know what the number is, but if the product is not expected to be good and then it starts bad, people aren't going to spend money if it's exaggerated price-wise.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
Now, speaking of spending money, we'll touch on this a little bit later on, but it's fascinating to me. The get-in prices to go to a Ranger or Knick playoff game are through the roof. And I think what complicates this for you listening out there who says, hey, I'm going to one Knick playoff game. That's all I could afford. I'm going to go to one Ranger playoff game. That's all I could afford. When do you decide to pull the trigger, especially in a year with high expectations? Do you do it early or do you wait? We'll get to that coming up, plus more of your calls, 877-337-6666.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.